right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. Amen. Yeah. Very good. We've got some announcements for you. And let's see here. No birthdays unless you've got a birthday out there. Anybody have a birthday coming this week? All right. So no birthdays. And then next Sunday is what? What is next Sunday?
Easter.
Easter Sunday. And there will be an egg hunt following the service for Mason and for other children. Amen. You going to be ready for an egg hunt, Mason? Yes, sir? Okay. Very good. Well, there will be one. And Ron, where you at, Ron? Ron's doing the egg hunt. There he is.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you talked about that one. Yeah, no. Egg hunt.
Egg hunt, right. And if they want to donate money, they give it to who for the candy and the eggs? Who are they giving it to?
To us. You can give it to me.
You give it to Alita? Give it to Ron. Ron will give it to Alita. Yeah, amen. All right. Give it to John. John will give it to Alita. All right. So.
But pretty much I got everything already.
Oh, you do?
Egg hunt, yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Amen. Very good. All right. And then the 16th. Price of eggs are going up, amen? You didn't buy real eggs, did you?
No.
Okay. Remember back in the day we'd boil real eggs and color them? Remember that? Amen. Huh? I don't do that no more, man. And you'd hide the eggs, and if you got too close to an ant pile, the ants would find the egg and try to get into the shell.
That was
oh, my. Oh, my. Somebody else did that. Yes, sir, Brother Ronnie?
Yeah, we have tacos afterwards.
Tacos, that is correct. So next Sunday we'll have dinner on the grounds after the Easter service, and we'll have tacos, and it'll be good, good, good. Amen?
Amen?
All right. That will be our service next Sunday. You'll be on your own for Sunday night, so just mark that down. Amen?
Amen.
All right, anything else? All the announcements? I think we got them. Very good. Brother Jeremiah.
All right, praise the Lord. Great to see y'all here this morning. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, He is Lord.
He is Lord. Every knee shall
Heavenly Father, we're glad to come here today just to worship your holy name, Lord, and lift you up on high, Lord. And we just thank you for this worship music and praise music, Lord. And Lord, today we just do this Lord's Supper, Lord, in honor of you, Lord. And we just thank you to be able to do that here today, Lord. And we want to thank for any visitor here today. We welcome them. And Lord, we just ask you to put this word on our pastor's heart, Lord. We thank you for him, Lord, and just let the Holy Spirit just flow, touch each and every one of us. Again, where we just take the word outside the doors, Lord, and share it. And Lord, we just pray for other people to come to your glory, Lord, and come to salvation. And Lord, we just ask you to just bless this offering. We just give just a small portion back to you, Lord, and we just ask you, we thank you for everything you've given us in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Oh, sometimes I feel like shouting glory, glory, glory. Were you there when he rose up from the dead?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Bleeding from a beating, there were stripes upon his back. Calvary. Por la Via della Rosa, triste día en Jerusalén. Los soldados le abren paso a Jesús, mas la gente se acercaba para ver a qué llevaba aquella cruz. Oh, la vía de la rosa, que es la vía de dolor, como oveja vino Cristo, Rey Señor. Y fue Él quien quiso ir por su amor, por ti, por mí. Por la vía de la rosa al Calvario y a morir. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way the heart of Jerusalem. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Amen. Children's church at this time? We're doing children's church today? Okay. Very good. Oh, they're excited to do it. Amen. All right. Hey, Mason. Mason, do you remember Lily on Friday? Remember seeing Lily at the golf thing? Did she tell you hi? Who's Lily? You met her Friday at the golf thing. Remember the blonde-headed girl, real skinny?
That who was singing?
No. No.
How do you know I met her?
How do I know I met her? Because she told me you were there. All the girls were talking about how cool you were. Ah, yeah. Yeah, he remembers now. He remembers now. They went on and on how cute that kid was, man. I tell you, everybody wanted to take Mason home. All right. Very good, outstanding. Those of you with us online, good to have you with us today. And I am amazed, at the beginning of the service, I always try to go back and see how many views, like the previous services, like last Sunday or 2 weeks ago. The service we did for Roger and Lois's family member, that was on a Saturday. There were probably 80 people here, maybe close to 100, and that service has already been viewed 70 times. It blows my mind. There are like 99 people that have subscribed to the YouTube channel, which is just mind-blowing. So that means every time a video comes up, they get notified or something. They're subscribed to it. So praise the Lord for that. So you may be watching with us online this morning, and we're going to be doing the Lord's Supper, and you're thinking to yourself, well, can I participate? Well, absolutely. Just find you some kind of juice product, I don't know, a little bit cracker. You know, you can use crackers for the Lord's Supper. You don't have to use like Broadman bread from Broadman Holman. You can use any kind of unleavened product. So get your little cracker, get your little juice, and just have that ready. We'll be doing the elements here in just a little bit. And we just encourage you, you know, hey, communion is for people that have been that have received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And it's for the church. And so if you've been baptized by immersion as an act of testimony of your faith, then we invite you to participate on with us. And same goes for everybody here. You say, well, preacher, I'm not necessarily a member here, but you are invited to partake of the Lord's Supper with us. We practice open communion. So if you've received the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, and you follow Him in believer's baptism, we invite you to participate in communion with us here this morning. Amen? You have a copy of God's Word. Take it and turn to Matthew chapter 26, and I'll invite you to stand and honor the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. Matthew 26, we'll begin reading here in verse 17, and we'll take it all the way through verse 31. All right, 31. That's 17 through 31. Okay, if you found it this morning, say, Easter's coming. All right, Matthew 26. God's Word reads here, beginning in verse 17, it says, pardon me, now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And He said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is near, I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. The disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, He said, truly I say to you that one of you will betray me. Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to Him, surely not I, Lord. And He answered, he who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of Him, but woe to that man whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. And Judas, who was betraying Him, said, surely it is not I, Rabbi. Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for the reading of Your holy and inerrant word. We thank You for those that are with us online. Their online presence today is felt. It's encouraging. We pray for them. And Lord, we ask that they pray for us here this morning. And Lord, we're thankful for visitors that are here today. We're thankful for Your church folk here today. We're thankful for the wonderful opportunity and privilege it is to observe the Lord's Supper table together. Father God, may You meet with us in a special way. And Lord, as I have gone through these almost 30 years of ministry now, Lord, I have grown to comprehend and appreciate the mystery of this time. I really can't explain it all, but I know You do something special when we come around the table. So, Lord, we're thankful for Your presence here this morning with us. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, a woman by the name of Mary Poplin, not to be confused with Mary Poppins, this is Mary Poplin. She's professor of education and dean of the School of Educational Studies at Claremont Graduate University. She attended as a child a Methodist church, but began searching other spiritual traditions. I mean, she was lost as a ball in high weeds. She got off into Buddhism, and she got off into transcendental meditation, and she even thought she was going to have one of those Matrix moments, and telepathically bend spoons hanging off of her nose. So, I mean, she dabbled in a little bit of everything. But she began teaching at Claremont, where a Christian friend on staff encouraged her spiritual journey. Eventually, in 1993, many, many moons ago, as she became a Christian, this is how it happened. In her own words, she said this was the last step. She said, in January of that year, 1993, my mother wanted to go to North Carolina to go where she had grown up. And so we made the trek there. We went there. We went to this little Methodist church, not because her mother was religious, not because she was really religious. Her mother just wanted to see her friends. And so when we got there, she writes, I was really moved just to go up to the altar and give my life to the Lord. She said it wasn't even an altar call. She said it was a communion call. You know, Methodists, they take the elements every Sunday. She said, the guy said, didn't even call him minister, pastor, shepherd. She said, the guy said, that's what I'd like to be known that. Hey, that's the guy. Amen. The guy said, you don't have to be a member of any church to take communion. You just have to believe that Jesus Christ lived, that he died for your sins, and you have to want him in your life. Folks, that's the gospel. Amen. That's the gospel. And when he said that, this lady says, I was so powerfully moved that I actually thought, even if a tornado rips through this building, I'm going to get that communion. And so I took the communion, and I did not even listen to the guy. I love that. A lot of people don't listen to me. So I get it. Amen. Don't even listen to that guy. She said, I knelt down and said, please come and get me. Please come and get me. She said, Lord Jesus, please come and get me. That's her salvific prayer. Amen. She is exercising her faith in the gospel. She said, and when I took the communion and I said that, she writes, I felt free. I felt free. I felt like tons of things had been lifted off of me. Yeah, that's the penalty of your sin, that you're feeling going away. Amen. That's what that is. Communion, or the Lord's Supper, is a powerful experience. I want to tell you something today. This meal touches the soul. Amen? This morning, we continue on our series of messages on Matthew's gospel. And as we do, we look at the story that gives us, that gives rise to our observance of the Lord's Supper. This passage helps us. It helps us see what makes communion such a uniquely significant meal. Amen, church? I want to share with you three things about this passage today. First of all, we are invited to a meal made from God's ancient recipes of redemption. We are invited to a meal made from God's ancient recipes of redemption. Jesus built communion on Passover. I mean, friend, that's what it's built on. Verses 17 through 19. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is near. I'm to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. The disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. For 1,500 years, the Passover had been teaching God's people the flavors of man's great need and God's great salvation. This sacred observance, it looks back to God's deliverance of the Israelites from the slavery of Egypt and the plague of death on all the firstborn in that land. It was a meal of strange recipes and flavors. In the Passover, there was salt water to remind people of the tears of slavery. There were bitter herbs like horseradish, so people would remember the sour flavor of bondage. There was a fruit paste with cinnamon sticks to remind the people of making bricks of clay and straw. There was a meal of lamb, remembering how a lamb was killed for every household and its blood sprinkled on the doorpost, signaling the angel of death to pass over. There was flat bread made without yeast to remind God's people both that they are to be holy and to be ready to travel, not puffed up by sin, right? The yeast. Such bread would travel well and would not spoil. Are you still with me? Then there were four cups of wine taken throughout the meal. Well, where do they get the four cups from, preacher? Well, the custom was drawn from four promises made by God to Israel in Exodus chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. Here are the four promises, beginning in verse 6, Exodus 6. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord. Promise, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Promise, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. You get that third promise? Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. Promise number four. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. The Passover was so precious to Jesus, it gave his disciples a taste for the ways of God. It reminded people that sin is a life of bondage like Egypt had been, and that sin slavery is like making endless bricks from clay. It reminded them that death will pass over every house, and our only protection lies not in our heritage or our last names or our might, but our protection lies in the blood of a sacrificial lamb. It reminded them that God is a redeeming God, buying people out of slavery, and that He is a liberating God, sending them out victoriously and safe toward a land flowing with milk and honey promises. These disciples and their ancestors learned their theology. They learned it at the table. At the table. Now Jesus wanted to teach His disciples that the Passover was the appetizer for the feast of salvation that He would bring. And so to this day, communion is ever so much more precious to us when we realize that we taste the ancient recipes of God's redemption and His freedom. Jesus brings His disciples to the Passover meal on the eve of His death so that their taste for salvation would be primed, would be ready. Point number two. Point number one, we're invited to a meal made from God's ancient recipes of redemption. Point number two, we are invited to a meal that exposes our hearts. It exposes our hearts. It exposes Jesus' heart, but it also exposes our heart. Beginning in verse 20, now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, He said, truly I say to you that one of you will betray me. Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to Him, surely not I, Lord. And He answered, he who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of Him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. And Judas, who was betraying Him, said, surely it is not I, Rabbi. And Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. And then verse 31, then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away. You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. What a strange feast. What a strange feast that drives one guest away. What a strange feast that leaves all the other dinner guests unsettled. What a strange feast where the host ends up with a broken heart. What happened on that solemn night usually happens when this meal is eaten, when this meal is partaken of. At this meal, the pretender. At this meal, the pretender cannot hide from the Lord's judgment. Jesus saw in Judas's heart what no one else could see. Jesus could see it. He saw the heart of a betrayer. Jesus saw the heart of a liar. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 32, Paul issues the solemn warning that this is not a meal to mess around with. This is not a meal to mess around with. It's not a meal to be taken in an unworthy manner, because it can literally, this meal taken in an unworthy manner, can literally kill you. Now, that doesn't mean that sinners cannot eat this meal. For if I got up here and told you that sinners could not eat this meal, we'd have to empty out the church. And me too. We'd all be gone. And the elements would just be sitting up here. Right? But it does mean that betrayers, that liars, dare not dine here. That fakes and frauds eating this food, they eat poison unto themselves. At this meal, every disciple must invite the Lord's examination. The stunning news that a betrayer was among them, that somebody that was going to betray Christ was among them, it grieved the disciples greatly. Amazingly, this news also prompted the others to ask, "Surely it's not I, Lord, surely it's not I." Their question, to which they expected Jesus to say, "Oh, fellas, no, of course not, it's not you." But apparently he never replied to that question, except for what I read to you in verse 31, that you're all going to fall away. You're all going to fall away. John tells us that these disciples moved very quickly from their shocked question, "Surely it is not I, Lord." In John's gospel, they transition from that, they pivot from that to an argument at the Passover, to an argument at the Last Supper. They pivot to an argument about who of them around the table is the greatest. There's a sense in which this meal is intended to bring out the worst in us, not to provoke bad behavior, but to reveal the worst about our fickle hearts. See, we do not partake of the Lord's table because we are holier than thou. We don't partake of the Lord's table because we are pious. We don't partake of the Lord's table because we are super spiritual. We don't partake of the Lord's table because we got it all together. We don't partake of the Lord's table because we're better than our neighbor. We don't partake of the Lord's table for any of those reasons. We partake because I'm a struggling old sinner. We partake because we're filled with doubts and anxiety and anger. That's why we partake, right? See, I'm fainting spiritually. You ever had a hypoglycemic moment in your life? You ever get to the end of your sugar? And boy, you better get some. You better get some or better lay down. Amen? Right? Well, friend, I'm fainting from severe hypoglycemia of the soul. You ever been there spiritually? Yeah. You better get some Jesus or you better lay down. Right? You're about to faint hypoglycemic of the soul. Right? Those are the people who need the table, amen? Amen? Right. Jesus' own profound suffering. See, Jesus' heart was also exposed at that dinner. Jesus' own profound suffering began at this table among friends. You got to imagine for a moment, friend. Use your imagination. Go back in time with me, first century. Go back to this upper room. This meal must have been terribly hard on our Savior. Must have been terribly hard on Jesus. Now, familiarity breeds contempt. We've read this passage so many times. We've had this passage preached to us so many times. But there are a couple of things in these verses we don't want to miss. Number one, first, in verse 23, Jesus said, He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. That's what Jesus said, right? The point, friend, is that all of those disciples, every single one of them had dipped their hand in that bowl of fruit paste as that part of the meal had come. Everybody had had a turn at that bowl. That is what friends did. Jesus was saying to them, my betrayer is one of my most dearest friends. My betrayer is one of my most intimate friends. Do you see that? You need to realize that. Secondly, we don't want to miss it. As Jesus was the host of this meal, he is the host. The absolute essential of that culture was that no one would speak ill against the host. You didn't go into somebody's home. You didn't go into somebody's place where they were hosting somebody's banquet hall. You didn't go in there and then run down the host. You didn't do that, let alone betray him, right? Now, I have wrestled for a long time about where faith ends and repentance begins, or where repentance ends and where faith ends. I've wrestled with for a long time, for years and years and years, of where free will ends and God's sovereignty begins, where God's sovereignty ends and where man's free will takes up. I've struggled over the years. I have wrestled for a long time over why the betrayal by Judas was necessary in the plan of God. Why did it have to happen like that? Surely Jesus could have been arrested and crucified without a turncoat, without a traitor turning him in. Had God planned it so, right? But I've concluded that in order for Jesus to drink the full cup of human suffering, the betrayal of a dear and trusted friend was part of the deal. You can't forget, friend, that Jesus loved Judas. We always want to talk about Jesus' love. Jesus, you believe Jesus loves, amen? You believe Jesus loves you? You believe Jesus loved you before you were saved? Yeah. Jesus loves people. He loves his creation. Well, friend, I want to tell you, he loved Judas. There was grief enough to be forsaken by all those he loved most. But to be betrayed by a dear friend and to know that such a betrayal condemned that friend to fierce and eternal judgment, that surely hurt Christ beyond description. Now, like you, I've read this account many times. But a few weeks ago, thinking about this Lord's Supper, what struck me most forcefully was the kind of people invited to this meal. The very dinner guests of God. The very dinner guests of God. One who would betray him and all the others who would forsake him. The dinner guests of God. The meal to be is a meal that exposes each heart at the table. But most precious, it exposes the heart of Christ who found fellowship in sinners like us and wanted to be there in the midst of it. Point number one, we're invited to a meal made from God's ancient recipes. Point number two, we're invited to a meal that exposes our hearts. Point number three, we are invited to a meal that feeds our deepest hunger. Verses 26 through 29, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This meal, it feeds our deepest hunger. First, because we hunger for food that will sustain us through this life. Don't you? Amen? Don't you get hungry every morning? Got to put something in there. Amen? Get you going for the day, right? Jesus' broken body is food for our journey. Amen? Food for a journey. I wonder for this week why the Lord did not make the meat of the lamb one of the elements of communion. Wouldn't that be cool? Amen? About the time we get to partake of the elements, old Brother Ronnie and James, They over here at the school, they got the oven on at 400, and they got lamb breaded nuggets, amen? And a nice dipping sauce, and about the time Brother Jeremiah's up here leading, the doors open, and they walk in, they got gloves on because it's hot, and they come down here with roasted lamb, amen? Wouldn't that be cool, right? But that ain't how it happens, is it? No roasted lamb, no. There are probably many reasons why we don't get roasted lamb, but two stand out to me now. Number one, bread made without yeast is a biblical symbol of holiness. Yeast, it brings an image of all that puffs up and ultimately spoils, doesn't it? But Jesus' body, represented by the bread, is for us like dining on holiness. Yes? Yes? He's a food for our souls that never spoils. Jesus never spoils, amen? No expiration date on Christ. That only strengthens us, nourishing righteousness and grace deep within us. Second reason why we don't get those lamb nuggets, don't get no roasted lamb. God required the Israelites to make unleavened bread so that they would have food for their journey out of bondage to freedom. Here was bread that would last and not spoil. Bread that was perfect for pilgrims. A precursor of manna that would fall from the sky. Jesus is that for us. Do you believe that? Jesus is food for our journey to the land of God's promises. Food for the wilderness we must all pass through. His name is Christ. You must have Him. Because we hunger for God, Jesus' blood poured out for forgiveness seals our covenant with God. As it says in verse 27 and 28 that we've already read, Jesus here took His disciples back to their memory of Exodus chapter 24, verses 6 through 8, when Moses secured Israel's commitment to God's old covenant. Exodus chapter 24, beginning in verse 6, reads, Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Once again, blood would be shed and a covenant established between God and people. But this time, this better covenant, this new covenant, this greater covenant was written on the hearts, and it was purchased with the blood of God's Son. This cup was the third of four Passover cups that night. It was the cup of redemption, celebrating that third promise that I've already read to you out of Exodus chapter 6. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. And this is what God says, and with mighty acts of judgment. Who would have ever guessed that God's mighty act of judgment would be pronounced against His own Son, or that the redemption would purchase people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Amen? Because we hunger for hope, this meal carries the promise. It carries the promise of eternity with Christ. Many believe that Jesus had the fourth cup in mind when He spoke verse 29. The fourth cup marked God's promise, I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. Down through the centuries until this day, the Passover called the Haggadah or the Passover liturgy, it repeats words like these when people gather around the Passover table. They'll say this year, they'll say it in unison, this year we eat it in the land of bondage. Next year, in the land of promise. in our communion cups that we're going to partake of here in a few moments are contained both the promise of redemption and the promise of reunion. Amen? And it is that promise that sustains us. It is that promise that feeds our soul, our soul deep hunger for hope. How many of you ever heard of Steve Brown? Back when I was cutting my teeth on the ministry, getting into the ministry, before YouTube, before the interweb, before the internet, before phones, with the computing power of a laptop hanging off your hip, we just had Christian radio. That's all we had, Christian radio. Yeah, there was Christian TV. But you couldn't watch TV and drive. You had to listen to Christian radio. I mean, watch TV and drive, you end up having a wreck. But Steve Brown, Key Life Ministry. This brother, he's still out there. I think he's 83 years of age. I don't know if he's still on Christian radio or not. Perhaps he is. Has a voice of an angel. This guy could read the classifieds. He could read the phone book. And I'd tune in. I mean, his voice is that good. Beautiful bass, rich, forceful voice. Steve Brown once said, "The world drinks to forget. The Christian drinks to remember." Amen? The world drinks to forget. The Christian drinks to remember. To remember both our redemption and our promised reunion. So we come to this simple meal again and again. We do this. It's a meal that feeds our deepest hunger. It's a meal that gives us strength for life's journey. It helps us with our relationship with God. And it also fosters a hope for eternity. Now, in our tradition, we usually regard communion as a memorial in keeping with Jesus' statement, "Do this in remembrance of me." But over the years, I have grown increasingly certain that what happens in the mystery of communion is more than a memorial. It is a meal rich with the ancient recipes of God-given grace and freedom. It is a meal that lays bare the secrets of the heart. And it is a meal that, in some mysterious way beyond my understanding, or my defining of it, it brings health to not only my soul, but your soul and everyone else who takes it serious. With that said, if you will bow your heads and close your eyes, we'll have a time of invitation, and then we will begin to hand out the elements. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for your incredible word to us, this incredible passage to us this morning, the institution of the Lord's Supper, the pivot from the Passover to communion, Lord. We love it. We praise you for it. Thank you that we get to have the privilege and the opportunity to observe it today. Lord, as others think about examining their own heart, in their own soul, they may need a few moments to come to the altar. They may simply take care of what they need to take care of there in the pew. But Lord, they may need to come to the altar. If that be, Lord, give them the freedom to step out, to come forth, to pray. There may be some that want to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. Perhaps somebody watching online, or perhaps somebody sitting here in the service today. They want that communion. And they know they need Jesus. So, Lord, in a few moments, when we enter into this time of invitation, let them come. Lord, whatever burden, whatever need we might have, may we find the satisfaction. May we find the answer. May we find the peace in you this very day, this very moment. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Jeremiah's going to lead us in a time of invitation.
Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior too.
Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
Amen. Thank you. If you'll remain standing, we'll have our deacons and ushers come forward, and they'll prepare the elements, and they'll each have a tray, bread, juice, and you can form two lines, and you can go ahead and begin lining up at this time, and just line up there at that front pew, right? Form your two lines, and if somebody step out, if somebody will step out, somebody else will, okay, right? And then as soon as they're ready to go, we'll release the elements to you. You come by and get your bread and your cup. And, there you go. Get your bread and your cup, and you're more than welcome to stay down here in the altar. Or if you feel led to go back to your seat, you're more than welcome to do that. All right? Absolutely. Very good.
Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Slain from the foundation of the world, for sinners crucified, O holy sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb, behold the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, for sinners crucified, O holy sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb, behold the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, for sinners crucified, O holy sacrifice.
Thank you, brother.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb.
Needs a bread. Yeah, Jeremiah needs a bread, brother. Okay. Oh, Jeremiah's up here. Oh, you got Lori back there? Yeah, Jeremiah. All right. Amen. All right, outstanding. Very good. The Word of God reads, everybody got one? Or got two? Did you have bread and a cup? Yep, got your elements. Now, if you guys ever want to go old school, I'll get a big chalice, and we'll fill it up, get a little alcohol, and we'll wipe the lip off, and everybody can come by and take a nip. Amen? But you want to keep doing it like this out of plastic? Everybody has their own little cup. That's fine with me too. Amen, amen, amen? All right, let's look at this word here. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Let's thank him for it today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your body. Lord, we did our best to preach a communion message today and have a communion service. And Lord, we lay it at your feet, and we thank you for your body. That old body that you allowed to be nailed to Calvary's cross. You gave it up freely. Lord, you surrendered. You submitted to the Father's will. Lord, you are bread for us today. You are sustenance for us today. We praise you and thank you. This bread today represents the sacrifice. represents that you're in us. We've received you as our personal Savior and Lord, the bread of life. Thank you, God, for all you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for your great submission. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making it all possible and tying us together. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Shall we eat? Everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Our Easter's coming, either one. Word of God reads, when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Let's thank him for it. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again. We thank you for the cup. Lord, we thank you for how this is built off the Passover and the promises of God in Exodus 6. And Lord, we know our deliverance, our salvation draweth nigh. We know that. We know that any day you could rapture this church. We know that any day you could come again, your second coming, Lord. The proceedings and everything leading up to that could begin with the rapture of your church. We praise you for that today. It's all possible. It's all made possible because of the new covenant, because of this blood, because of this juice representing in this cup, the blood of Christ, the blood that was spilt on Calvary's cross, the blood that hit the very dirt, the blood that spilled out his side, the blood off his head, off his back, off his feet, off his hands, Lord. We thank you for that blood. Thank you how it covers the penalty, takes away, removes the penalty of our sin. What precious blood it is. We praise you and we thank you for it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Shall we drink? Tell somebody next to you, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, brother. The Word of God reads on. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. We probably need to put a sign out there somewhere, Mount of Olives, so we can all walk to it after we sing. But for a close, we'll sing a hymn, and our deacon brothers will be at the back door with their open Bibles, and they'll be receiving a benevolence offering. Miss Terry, are you going to do your report tonight, my dear? All right, Miss Terry will be on tonight with her mission report. Amen. And we will see you next Sunday for Easter Sunday. Well, no sunrise, but Easter Sunday. Amen. Easter Sunday service. After the fact, we're having a what? An egg hunt and tacos. Amen. Going to have some tacos. All right. So with that said, you ready to sing? Amen. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
All right. Sing your hymn of dismissal.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord.